absolute power corrupts absolutely.
All right, all right, all right. It's that time again, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you know what? This is the master plan. I am JT, as always. I am the master. And people, I've been on the air for a few years now, riding solo for so long. And for the first time, I have a co-host. He's called Rev Fantasy.
That's right, JT.
I wouldn't bless him to be my co-host if he didn't. He wasn't able to drop the knowledge, and he is. So let me bring him in. I'll stop this music and welcome him for the first time to you and to the show, Rev Fantasy. How you doing, my man?
JT, what's going on, my brother from another mother? What's going on?
Oh man, I'm pumped up. I'm very pumped up, as always, on an NFL and a fantasy Sunday. It's the, for most people, it's the last week of win and you're in, or some with some leagues, they are already in the process of playing the first round of the playoffs. I understand that you are in one of those categories of win and you're in. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, hey, if I win against our founder, FSP, hey, I'm in. If I lose, hey, it's going to be a long, long year. I'm going to do a lot of crying and a lot of praying. I have to go back to the books and do a little studying. But, hey, man, hey, it's put up or shut up week for a lot of people this week. So, hey, let's go get that money, right?
Yeah, I know. You know, and it's tough with our founder because, you know, he likes to talk a lot of smack. And if he beats you, he'll make sure that you know about it each and every day that he either converses with you, texts with you, or able to look at you face to face and let you know that he beat you down until you get the opportunity to return the favor.
Yeah, I've had to hear it for the last year. He beat me in the championship last year. So shout out to FSP. But you're going down today, brother. That's a done deal. Reverend Fancy already got that on lock, so we're already making reservations for that championship.
I hear you. Now, before I go any further, because I want to find out a little bit more about this league that you guys are in. Is it a standard league, PPR league? Does it have IDPs? Give me some breakdown on what type of league this is.
It's a standard league, dual quarterback, dual flex. So it's a big starting lineup, but standard scoring. So, yeah, it's pretty much standard across the board. And I started, hey, yours personally, hey, after last week's advice, I don't know if anybody's going to listen to us anymore because all the fancy advice we gave last week went right out the window. But that's how fancy goes. That's why they call it fancy. You just don't know what's going to happen, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, for one, you know, and I had talked about this, and this guy's been like my favorite for the last two seasons, at least the last two seasons, especially when the prime receiver moved on and signed a big contract with another team. I'm talking about, and I had said last week to temper my expectations of Antonio Brown because he was going against Joe Hayden. Well, he tore him up. I mean, he ripped him a new one. Joe Hayden had nothing for Antonio Brown, which surprised me and probably surprised a lot of people in fantasy that Joe Hayden, who had been shutting down even the likes of Calvin Johnson, had gotten ripped with Antonio Brown the way he did. So that's probably one of the ones that did work out. And the other one I had talked about. We had talked about this guy too, and I still say these two guys, Antonio Brown and this other guy I'm talking about, is Josh Gordon. We're going to talk about him a little later, especially Josh Gordon. I think this guy, he missed the first two games of the season, and he's like, I think maybe within the top five in receiving right now. He's on the last. He's one of the only guys I think is on par on par, in my opinion, with Calvin Johnson. And for most people, including myself, when they did the draft, because he was suspended for two games early, just like Justin Blackmon was suspended for, I think, four games or whatever it was, he dropped down in the draft quite naturally. And for those who are astute drafters, they waited on this guy and was able to pick him up in later rounds of the draft because people looked at the name guys and didn't realize, in my opinion, what kind of talent this guy was. And he's showing out this year like no other. And he's going to be a top wide receiver pick. I guarantee it next year.
Hey, JT, you're right, man. Hey, Josh Gordon's killing it this year, coming off the suspension. He's still in the top five of receiving across the board. And, hey, there's no sky's the limit for this guy. If Cleveland can ever figure out their quarterback position, like I said, sky's the limit. I think under North Turner's offense, he's going to thrive for years to come.
Yeah, and this is another guy I really don't like as a head coach. When you mention his name, it just kind of like sent chills up my spine because I don't like this guy as a head coach. I'm talking about North Turner. He's not head coach material, but as an offensive coordinator, he's able to work his magic in the offense, and especially with, this year. I think he's done a phenomenal job with the talent at the quarterback position he's had with the Cleveland Browns to be able to at least have a decent offense. I mean, he uses Jordan Cameron and Josh Gordon because those are his main two options with Greg Little and whoever else he has on the other side, and with a patchwork running game because they got rid of Trent Richardson. So if they can ever do anything with the quarterback position like you said, they're going to be a tough team in the near future because they have, I think, at least two draft picks next year. If I'm not mistaken,
that's correct.
They're going to be a tough team to deal with in that AFC North. That's going to be one of the toughest divisions I see in the near future. So,
I couldn't agree more, JT. I think the AFC North, most of the teams are on the downside. You got your Ravens, you got your Steelers. They're older teams that, even though they're younger talent, it's going to take some time to groom. You haven't seen it produce too much in the games yet. So the only team that can give the Browns a run in that division for the next couple of years, I think, will be Cincinnati. And I think I do like the upside of Cleveland. If you didn't know, JT, I'm from the Cleveland area originally.
Right.
So the Browns are like, you know, they're like, you know, my great old uncle, man. I love them to death. So...
Yeah, I hear you.
But they're a pain in my back. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. I understand what you're saying. They, the thing about it is this. You know, it amazed me. I have at least two live drafts a year. I've had three this year, actually live drafts, not online, actually live drafts. And it's amazed me how people get sucked into these name players. Doesn't make a difference what position. And ready to jump on. And some of them are warranted. But don't look at the overall picture of what kind of situation these name players may be in. Don't have a foresight to see that even though these guys are name players, the situation or the circumstances that they may be in on the team, they may be on the downside. The team may be on the downside, or some circumstances are going to cause them not to have a decent fantasy season. But they draft them high because of the name, and they leave these guys that, and I'm specifically naming these guys, like I said before, Antonio Brown and Josh Gordon, to get picked up late in the waiver wire because the fact is they're not named guys, so they don't think they're going to do that much. And these guys, and I'm saying both of them, since week one, Antonio Brown has been extremely consistent, most receptions in the NFL, And Josh Brown, like I said, we had talked about before, is in the top five. But astute guys that do their research and know players regardless of the team, are able to pick these guys up on a steal in late rounds because the fact is nobody picks them up. And that gives you a chance to pick up big-time players in the earlier rounds. And because no one is able to, no one is realizing how much potential or what these guys are going to be capable of, they leave them in the later rounds, which is only going to strengthen your team that much more because you pick these guys up on the cheap in the late rounds.
I'll tell you what, JT, these two guys that we're talking about, Antonio Brown and Josh Gordon, there ain't no more hiding. They've had their coming out party this year.
Right.
And like you said, both these guys will be getting drafted in first to the third rounds in most drafts for the next upcoming years.
Okay. All right. Well, we humped a bunch of praise on both these guys, and let's move on. We're going to start with the first game in the 1 o'clock game, the Buccaneers and the Panthers. Quite naturally, the Panthers are on a 6 or 7 game winning streak. The Bucs are on a 3 game winning streak. Both of these teams are coming into this game hot. The Buccaneers have a pretty decent defense. Mike Glennon, the rookie, is showing out. I wouldn't suggest playing him today because the Panthers have a pretty stout defense. Let me put it this way. The only guy I would think about playing, the only two guys I would think about playing in here, and one's a definite wide receiver, one in my position, in my opinion, I should say, and the other guy is a tight end, two probably in here. I'm talking about Tim Wright, who is very athletic and young tight end, who Mike Glennon likes to target, and quite naturally the other target would be Vincent Jackson. In this game, I'm gonna pass that over to you for you to give me some what you think of in the Carolina Panthers, and then we can go from there.
Okay, JT, let the rest get a little sermon right now. So,
mm-hmm.
Hey, what I see in this game, Bucks Panthers. Hey, Mike Glennon's been had a nice fantasy year so far. However, this week he's best left on your bench,
mm-hmm.
And same goes for Bobby Rainey. If there's a Buck who you take a chance on, like you said, JT, it'd be Vincent Jackson as a wide receiver one. Just temper your expectations. Speaking of tempered expectations, same goes for Cam. Actually, some people might not agree with that. And I think this week, Cam, that defense for the Bucks is playing really tough lately.
Right.
Terrell Revis' stats still up in the air for this game, but I do think temper your expectations with Cam. And with all the Panthers this week, I think it's going to be a really dogfight today for them offensively. So with D'Angelo Williams uncertain, I think Jonathan Stewart could see more carries today. So if you're kind of desperate and you're looking for maybe a flex play, Jonathan Stewart could come into play in this game. And I totally agree with you. Tim Wright, I think this guy has been floating on the radar fantasy-wise all year, and I think he could have a solid fantasy game today.
All right. This division game is going to be tight. I really believe that these two teams are going to, especially the defenses, really tough defenses are going to go at each other. Buccaneers are fighting for respectability. The Panthers are trying to go to 9-3 right now. They're the fifth option, playoff seed, if I'm not mistaken. And they're having a phenomenal year. And it's surprising to me. I don't say surprising to me, but it's redemption for the head coach. Because going into the season, a lot of people say he was on the griddle, ready to be toasted because the fact is the Panthers had underachieved and they really didn't expect that much so-called experts didn't expect that much from the Panthers under the head coach. What's your thoughts on that?
I think your sentiments are exactly dead on. Both these coaches were, I think ready to, excuse me to say, but fried fish.
Mm-hmm.
Ron Rivera, if they didn't do something this year, he was probably gone. Greg Schiano looked like he lost the locker room earlier this year. But, hey, winning heals all, right? So that's all that matters in the NFL. What have you done for me lately? So both these guys are coaching these teams. And I tell you, Ron Rivera's got that team dialed in, and they're looking really, really good right now.
All right, let's move on to the next game on the docket. And it's your Cleveland Browns hosting the 2-9, excuse me, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jacksonville's coming in off of a win off of my freaking Texans. I can't believe they beat them at home, but it is what it is. We stooped to the well of where the Jacksonville Jaguars reside. 2-9.
Tough year.
Tough night. And to think about it, and I'll get to it later, but think about it, this is one of these teams that were considered a Super Bowl, supposedly a Super Bowl contender, surefire playoff team, not what they're at now at 2-9 with a 9-game losing streak. So it is what it is. We're talking about the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Cleveland Browns. Quarterback on Jacksonville, don't play him. The only two viable components to Jacksonville, and I really haven't drafted any of these guys on my team. I let me put it this way. For the first time in fantasy ever, I drafted Maurice Jones-Drew on my team. I usually don't draft him because I really wasn't I have never been an MJD fan, and I really didn't want to draft him, but I had no choice. In my opinion, on a draft I was in, and I had a draft running back that I needed to draft a running back I thought was going to do decent, and I had a draft MJD. He's coming around now, the later part of the year. He was really not that good the earlier part of the year, and I guess the season, the schedule was conducive of him not doing well. Anyway, he's probably the only one of two guys I would play here. Maurice Jones-Drew is probably an RB2, maybe a flex in this, because the Cleveland Browns defense is pretty stout against the run. And also Cecil Shorts, because Chad Henne has to throw to somebody, and Cecil Shorts is probably the more viable candidate who he has to throw to. Unfortunately, and the Rev is going to reaffirm this, I do truly believe, because I want to pass it off to him when we're talking about the Cleveland Browns. He has to go against one of the shutdown corners, in my opinion, in the NFL, and that's Joe Hayden. And Joe Hayden, I think, is going to be a little pissed off about what happened to him last week and is going to take it out on Cecil Shorts. So extremely important for you to temper your expectations of what Cecil Shorts is going to do, because Joe Hayden, I think, is going to lock him down. Talk to me, Rev. You're Cleveland Browns.
Well, let me tell you something. You're dead on with this one. My man JoJo Hayden ain't playing today. Who are we talking about? Cecil who? Cecil Shorts?
Yeah, exactly.
Come on, JT. Let's get real. Cecil Shorts ain't half the man that freaking Antonio Brown is as a receiver. Let me tell you, let me dive right into this game. Like you said, there ain't a lot of Jaguars you'd ever consider starting nowadays, but if you did have to roll with one, it would be MJD. And yes, JT, I drank the Kool-Aid too. I drafted MJD thinking somebody's got to do Jacksonville Jaguars offensively this year. And boy, was I wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Man, he's killing me. Him and Steven Jackson have totally blown up some of my leagues.
Okay.
Blown them up completely. And but on a brighter side, MJD's showed some sparks the last 2 weeks. He's been averaging around 10 points fantasy wise in most standard leagues. So he's shown some. There might be a light at the end of the tunnel. Do I think it's going to be a light at the end of the tunnel today? I don't think so against that tough Cleveland Brown defense. But I think he could have at least one score today. Other beyond that, for Jacksonville, Cecil Short, he'll have a tough matchup with Joe Hayden. But I wouldn't buy into the quarterback situation with Jacksonville. Same thing if you're on the Cleveland side. If you're avoiding Brandon Whedon, I understand why. But let me tell you something. Josh Gordon, if there's one quarterback that loves to throw the ball to Josh Gordon, it's Brandon Whedon.
Yep.
The 100 quarterbacks that have suited up for the Cleveland Brown this year, Brandon Whedon loves to throw the ball. Evidence of last week when he had 234 yards on like 12 grabs.
Yep.
In that game against the Steelers. And a lot of it came in garbage time, but hey, fantasy doesn't know no time. So, yeah, Josh Gordon has made himself into a weekly starting option. You don't have a choice here. I look for Josh Gordon to have another big day. And I tell you what, I'm looking for Jordan Cameron to get back on track this week. So, if you have both those guys, you need to be starting them this week. What do you think, JT?
Yeah, well, I totally agree with you. And the fact is that I think, if I'm not mistaken, Jacksonville is the worst team to defend the or gives up the most points for a tight end in NFL. So, in fantasy,
correct about that.
I think Jordan Cameron is going to have Jordan Cameron and Josh Gordon, as long as Brandon Whedon doesn't have a brain fart, which he has been known to do.
That's possible.
And these two guys will have fantasy goodness. Now, my question is to you there, Cleveland. Give me your thoughts on Chris Obanaya. Give me your thoughts on that, because the fact is I'm playing him in one of my leagues because I got rid of Steven Jackson, and I'm playing Chris Obanaya because he seems like he got a better matchup against Jacksonville than Steven Jackson does. Talk to me. What do you think about Chris Obanaya?
Let me tell you something, JT. Anybody's name that you can't pronounce, I stay away from. That's just my rule of thumb in fantasy, bro. That's just my rule of thumb in general, in life. So anybody's name I can't pronounce, I'm not buying into. But I see where you're going with it. Definitely a better viable option for you. I think the points could be there over a Steven Jackson.
Right.
You know, if you're that, you know, hard up for some points, you know. Yeah, they could be there. Jacksonville's defense, I'll tell you what, they're kind of like Jekyll and Hyde. Most of the time,
right.
You know, they showed they had heart against, you know, everybody was thinking they were going to get smoked by Denver, and that defense showed up that day and punched Peyton Manning and them boys in the mouth. And then you see and last week they showed something against Houston. I thought Casey Keenum was going to have a huge day, and they held them guys to 7 points. So, like I said, you never know what you're going to get with them guys. But, like I said, if you're relying on someone that you can't even pronounce their name, I don't like the option.
Well, my question is this, then. You know, you're a Cleveland Browns fan, diehard.
I am. I am.
And this is outside of fantasy. I want to talk in reality here. What do you think of that Chris Obanaya? What do you think of him as a running back compared to the other guys, Fozzie Whitaker, McGahee? Quite naturally, McGahee is an older guy, but what's your thoughts?
Well, McGahee has no kneecaps left, so
that's
really not. He probably won't be there next year. I think for a young back, people seem to forget that this guy's been around for like the last three years
right.
with the Browns.
Right.
So it's just the Browns at running back. They had Trent Richardson last year, and you know, now I was thinking at the time, I said it last week on the show, when they traded Trent Richardson, like it was like what happened with LeBron James when he left Cleveland. I had took off my Brown jersey. I was burning it in the front yard. I was like ready to give up 30 years of, you know, just faithfulness. I felt like, you know, the Browns are like my wife. They cheated on me when they got rid of Trent Richardson. But,
right.
Hey, let me tell you something. Somebody must have known something in that front office for the first time in the last 12 years since the Browns come back to Cleveland.
Right.
Because Trent Richardson don't look like and there's no reason he shouldn't be doing better because he's on a better team. Their offensive line is pretty solid there. And he looks like he just has no passion right now. And I think that was a knock on him when he was in college. So
okay.
I don't know if the Browns maybe saw something there, but I think that the ceiling's high with the Browns right now. I kind of like where they're going. I think finally, whenever you get defense keeps you in games. If they can ever figure it out offensively, you've got two blue chippers now, Cameron Jordan, who's been there a couple years. He's had some time to learn from like guys like Ben Watson and those guys that played with him. And you got, you know, Josh Gordon, who, like I said, it looks phenomenal. But at the same aspect with Josh Gordon, he's a small receiver. They have Greg Little, who's a big receiver. They still need to shore up that position. And if they could ever figure it out, like I said, if they can ever figure it out at the running back position and at the quarterback position, I think we could be talking about the Cleveland Browns doing something for a couple years. And yes, I did say the Cleveland Browns doing something other than losing
right.
for the next couple
right.
years. So.
Right. All right. We are blessed, I shouldn't say blessed, but we do have a caller on the line. I do recognize this number, so I do know who this is. And I'm going to bring him in now to see what he has to say, unfortunately. Hello, Mr. FSP, Mr. Gardner. How are you today?
Well, firstly, I would like to say I'm calling in on the Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com hotline where people go to play and winners win. So I got to make sure I get that out there.
Okay.
It's funny how you asked Mr. Reverend Fantasy to lay some scripture down on a Cleveland Brown, you know, about leaving a team that he's loved for 30 years. I mean, you have some experience with that. You actually abandoned your team for over 50 years, might I add, to go to a team in Houston that now has the Taylor jinx. So I don't know if y'all got to Houston Texans yet, but Cleveland and Jacksonville is a very good game. As far as fantasy goodness, I have Jordan Cameron and I have Jason Witten in one of my leagues. Unfortunately, I set Jordan Cameron and played Jason Witten because I also have Andre Brown playing in my flex, MJD, I forgot the other running back that I'm playing. But I could have went two tight ends or I could have went three running backs. I decided to go three running backs because I need to win this game, and I can't rely on if Jordan Cameron's going to get the ball. The last couple of weeks, he has not. Jason Witten disappointed me a little bit. I only got like 5 points, but that's better than a zero. So the good Reverend didn't abandon his ship like some people I know. Shots fired. But I will say this. That all good things come to an end, and so will the Browns and the Texans.
I understand that, Mr. Gardner, from what you're describing to me on your team, it seems like the matchup that you're worried about and the players that you have in place are the same players that are matched up against my co-host. Am I right about that?
Oh, not in that league, but yes. I'm glad you brought that up because a good reverend needs to go through seminary, and I have to be the professor to show him the way. If we want to discuss that right now, I have
we can discuss that right now. How about this? Since I got both of you on it, and the good reverend has told me that you have a matchup. And whoever wins is in the playoffs. I'm going to give you guys a moment for each of you to lay your smack down, or whatever you want to say to each other in this matchup that's going to be completed by Monday night. And because he's my co-host, I'm going to give him the first crack.
No, I appreciate that, JT. Hey, let me say something first of all. Good morning, FSP. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well.
I'm glad. But your team's not doing very well. So I just wanted to point that out. You already got – I like that Jarrett Boykin start. He's had a monster game for, let's see, 0 receptions, 0 yards, 0 points. Good point. Yeah, good start on that one. It looks like I made another good call by sitting my man Jordy Nelson, who had another monster game with 2 receptions for 14 yards. Thank you, Matt Flynn. I'm glad I sat him down.
I believe I did tell you to do that.
So, yeah, whatever. You can yap all you want. All you're going to be yapping to is back to the house with an L after today. So anytime you're relying on, like I told you, if you can't pronounce a guy's name, don't start him in fantasy, right? So if you want to start Josh McNown at quarterback, you want to start Donald Brown, you want to start C.J. Spiller, yeah, all right, rock out, do what you do. But you already know what it's going to be today. Redemption. It says in the good book, redemption. And let me tell you something. You already know what it's about, FSP. You got me last year. I told all our listeners on the air. Yeah, you beat me in the... But redemption. Today's been coming, my friend. And today, it comes to a head. And hey, we'll find out. But so far, one down on your side. And I got eight more to go. You got 7 to go. So, hey, bro, it's looking real good so far for me. That's all I'm going to say. Just remember that word, redemption. And then once redemption comes, the other word comes, and that's respect. So then once I take over this league that we're in and I win it, and I dust you off today, I'll take on that nickname instead of Reverend Fantasy. Maybe I'll take on the FSP. And the terminology of SSP. What do you think, JT? You think that fits really good, man?
I think that fits you quite well. Trust me.
Oh, man.
That fits really quite well.
Appreciate that, JT. I'll hand it off to my man, Mr. FSP. What do you got, man?
Well, let's set the record straight. Last year, I defeated you in a championship. I am the champion. Even if one of us loses, if Rodella loses, both of us have a shot at making the playoffs. You, less so than me, because I have a tie. So I have a half a game over you anyway. Secondly, you want to mention the 3 people or 4 people that you don't like on my team, but you didn't mention I had Drew Brees. You didn't mention Josh McNown is in because I got Andy Dalton and Aaron Rodgers on the bench. You didn't mention that I got Andre Johnson. You didn't mention that I had Frank Gore playing. You didn't mention I got Ryan Matthews playing. You didn't mention that I got... I forgot my other receiver right now. Oh, you didn't mention I have Vernon Davis and Tony Gonzalez playing today, too. You didn't mention I have a good defense and a very good kicker. And, oh, by the way, you also didn't mention that you got Marquise Colston going Monday night, and I have Drew Brees going Monday night. You also have RG3 and Alfred Morris. Now, listen. You might be a reverend, but you probably got your seminary degree with a C-. It was passing.
C's good nowadays, guys, let me tell you.
They must be, because that's the only way you got out of seminary. But the good Mr. FSP, Family Sports and Politics majors, we get A's, maybe a few B's here and there. But I tell you like this, Mr. Reverend Fantasy, you will not beat me. Cannot beat me, can only dream of beating me. So once you take your foot out your mouth come Monday night, you better hope that Marquise Colston gets touchdowns from somebody other than Drew Brees, because remember, the points Marquise Colston gets, Drew Brees gets. Don't forget that. And, you know, Donald Brown over Mr. Matthews, you know what? Let's see what he did against Tennessee last time. He got over 87 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns, 1 reception for about, 17 yards. That's pretty good in your league. So, you know, I'm going with the sure thing versus somebody that may or may not play. Just remember, I am Mr. FSP. You need to go to Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com and place those wagers so you can lose more money and give it to me.
By the way, I have been to that site, and I have lost some money, so.
Oh, you have?
Well,
I shouldn't say that on the air.
Or
maybe my wife's listening.
Well, Victor, let me lay down some master plan knowledge here. I listened to your roster, and it looks like to me most of your players have tough matchups. So, for the majority of your players, whatever their projections are, I project that they're going to underperform. Because I listen to all your players, and they have tough matchups, including your quarterback. So, you're probably relying for the most points for your quarterback compared to your other players. And I would temper my expectations quite heavily on Drew Brees going into Seattle, regardless of who the DBs may be, because that defense is very fierce, and Drew Brees does not play that well on the road.
I got it, but that's why I have Josh McDaniels playing as well, because we play a two-quarterback system. He has Colin Kaepernick and RG3. I have Drew Brees and Josh McDaniels. Mm-hmm. Josh McDaniels is going against mm-hmm. one of the worst secondaries in the NFL.
Okay. And I've seen this before. I've seen this play and picture before. That when a player gets pumped up, when everybody in God's creation and fantasy is saying, play this guy, he's going to light it up. He's the biggest disappointment of the week in fantasy. So if you think that Josh McCown is going to light up the Minnesota Vikings, it looked like that on paper. Josh McCown is a backup for a reason. He's a understand that. He's a backup for a reason. He's only in there because Jay Cutler is hurt. He may be playing well. He's on the road in the dome against the Minnesota Vikings. I understand that. But he's a backup for a reason. So anytime these guys have monster games or monster weeks, just be prepared because that big bust, that big hurt is coming in fantasy. That's why they're backups.
Well, Mr. Taylor, I'm glad that you want to protect your woman, the Reverend.
No, I'm not protecting. I'm just laying down the knowledge that you should know.
Well, no, I know, but this is the thing, JT. This is McNown's first rodeo. He's been doing it for several weeks now,
but
he's going against a lesser of a defense in the secondary with Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey, Mr. Bennett, and all those other guys. He's doing pretty well with the weapons that he has.
All I'm saying is do not be surprised if he brings a clunker to the table. Trust me.
I won't be. I mean, RG3 and Colin Kaepernick will probably do the same thing for the Reverend over there, but
that's a better duo than Drew Brees and Josh McDaniels. Drew Brees is good, but he's got one of the stiffest matchups this week that you can possibly have going into Seattle against the Seattle Seahawks. That's tough. Real tough.
You're right, but when they only have one of their top three DBs playing, and the rest are safeties, and you're down to your fourth corner starting. Mm-hmm. I like my chances with redemption of Mr. Brees going in there. Now, I don't want to disrupt the show.
You're not disrupting anything.
Okay. I just wanted it's all right. Get your love in now, because next Sunday, you have to work just like me. I do, fool. But I tell you like this, good Reverend and the Master. If FSP says it, it shall be done.
Oh boy, here we go.
Oh,
anyway, let's move on to the Denver Broncos at the Kansas City Chiefs.
It's called the AF Hutton.
Yeah.
When I talk, people listen.
All right. Denver Broncos at the Kansas City Chiefs. This is a rematch of 2 weeks ago when Kansas City visited Denver, and Denver quite nicely went away with the win. Peyton Manning, he's an every week play, without a doubt. He didn't get touched too much in Denver, and I don't think he's going to get touched this much in Kansas City, even though it's going to be a more hostile environment. It's going to be tougher to play. Tamba Ali is probably going to be playing. Justin Houston is probably not going to be playing. And Tamba Ali is going to probably be limited because of the fact of his sprained ankle. And that's going to hurt the pass rush, which is going to benefit Peyton Manning, put a lot more pressure on the defense, especially the DBs of the Kansas City Chiefs. So Peyton Manning should have a good day today. Knowshon Moreno is, probably a game-time decision. I think he's probable, or questionable, I should say. If not, then I think Ronnie Hillman and Monte Ball are going to be running back by committee, with Monte Ball probably getting the majority of the carries. If Knowshon Moreno does play, I think it's going to be probably an even split, because they're going to limit the amount of carries Knowshon has because of his bone bruise injury that he has to his leg. I have Julius Thomas. I'm definitely playing him. He's definitely a tight end one in this game to me. I like Demaryius Thomas, as always, Wes Welker. And Eric Decker hasn't been doing too much lately. And what usually happens is this, with the Denver Broncos. One of these receivers gets the turkey, and the other one gets the duck. And to me, I think Eric Decker in this game is probably going to get the turkey, and Demaryius Thomas is probably going to get the duck, and that's been known to happen in recent games. So if you have any of these wide receivers, you're definitely going to play them, because Peyton Manning likes to spread the wealth along with the tight end. On the other side, you know, Denver has a very bad pass defense. The pass rush is not quite there. It's getting better. Von Miller is getting a little bit more pressure on the quarterback. But Alex Smith likes to get the ball out quick. Short passes to Jamal Charles. Short passes over the middle between Donnie Avery and Dwayne Bowe. And Dexter McCluster is getting more involved. So the play here for me is quite naturally Jamal Charles. That's definitely probably the best, in my opinion, the best dual threat running back in fantasy right now. And this is tough. Wide receiver three is a Dwayne Bowe. He is getting the ball more to Dwayne Bowe, and the schedule is conducive to Kansas City throwing the ball more going down the stretch into the playoffs. So I would play Dwayne Bowe in a flex position or wide receiver three with confidence. These other players are sketchy at best. Be sure that going into the playoffs that you have Jamal Charles' backup, which is Niles Davis. If he's still sitting on the bench and you have him, he's still sitting on the waiver wire, and you have Jamal Charles, he should be on your bench just to make sure that if you lose Jamal Charles for any reason, that you have his backup in that running game, Niles Davis. I'm going to give it to my Rev, and then I'm going to give it to Vic to mop up whatever we've left out.
I appreciate that, JT. Hey, look, you already know the deal with Denver. They're big five. Peyton, Wes Walker, Demaryius Thomas, Decker, and I'm going to throw in Julius Thomas. All are primed for a big day. I think that Chiefs defense is banged up. They've been playing terrible the last 2 weeks. The way Phillip Rivers treated that defense last week, he looked like Peyton Manning. So what do you think Peyton Manning's going to do today? He's going to be Peyton Manning. He's going to have at least 4 touchdown passes to these guys. So I look for a big day offensively for those guys. And then on the Kansas City side of things, it's going to sound funny, I know that Mr. Checkdown King itself, Alex Smith, he doesn't stretch the field too much, but I kind of, if you're looking for a spot starter maybe this week, he might not be bad to start this week, Alex Smith. That's right, Alex Smith, I said it. And I think he's not a bad option here if you need someone to do a spot start for you in some leagues. I think they're going to fall behind. So he's going to have to throw the ball down the field, JT. And when he has to throw it, he's been throwing it, like you said, to Dwayne Bowe. I think Dwayne Bowe, like you said, could be a flex or a wide receiver three option. And I'm going to give credit to FSP. He called his name last week, and I thought it was crazy. It was Donnie Avery. There was a Donnie Avery sighting who had a score. So I think he could come into play this week also if you're looking for a desperate person to play. And but it's all going to come down on the offensive side, on that Kansas City side, to our man Jamaal Charles, like you said. The guy is a beast. He's, like you said, the best two-way threat on running back, catching, and running in the NFL. So there's no reason to think that Jamaal Charles isn't going to get off today. And I definitely, if you have Kansas City defense like I do on your fantasy teams, sit them. All right. In standard league last week, San Diego had those guys at -7. That's unheard of for fantasy. -7.
Wow.
So, yeah, that hurt me last week. I played them, and -7. That's crazy to believe that defense is going to put up -7. But this week you definitely want to sit them boys. And with all the injuries they occurred last week, it could be even uglier today. So what do you got for us, FSP?
Well, since you both know that I am a winner and you both have lost me and lost the
roster, do you want me to mute him?
Really?
That's all right. Let him speak his piece. He is the owner.
Go ahead. You gonna beat your own drum, or you gonna tell us what the deal is here?
Well, I'm gonna.
I guess he's writing a check, so.
Here we go. Yes, I am doing it. But no, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, both the Reverend and the Master gave you some good offensive players and some good knowledge. I do agree with Rev on starting Alex Smith if you have a situation where you need to either start him, Chad Henne, or someone like that, because Smith isn't that bad. If he's a check down king, yeah, but he's going to get it to somebody in space and they'll make something happen. Donnie Avery is their deep ball guy. Dexter McCluster, however, in this game, I think is going to be that surprise guy. Him and Trendon Holiday. I really think that it's going to be a special teams type game. Yes, Tom Bailey will play, but Josh Houston is down. So that means that other edge is going to be tough. I'm going to talk to you about the IDPs. Eric Berry will see plenty of hits, plenty of tackles today. Go after Eric Berry. Go after Derek Johnson. Go after Mr. Flowers. I'm telling you, there's going to be some goodness on that side. The opposite side, of course, you got Von Miller. You've got Matt Elvis Doomerville. You got Von Miller, and you've got who's the other cat that left?
Woodward? You talking about Woodward?
Woodyard and Trevathan are going to be just gobbling up Pac. Gobble like Pac-Man. You've got a bunch of DBs. Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, he takes the deep stuff. Don't worry too much about that, but I think he's going to be locked up on Dwayne Bowe. Dwayne showed up last week. I don't know if he's going to show up this week where he really needs to, but a sneaky pick that I think you might want to look at is the tight end. Tight end for Kansas City.
Fasano?
Fasano. The reason why I say that, I believe he's playing. The reason why I say that is because if they're going to run Jamaal Charles, that means he's going to be down the seam. And if he's down the seam, your old jet buddy, Jerry, Mr. Cromartie plays safety now. So he's going to be subbing in and out with Ichigonigo, whatever his name is. And he might be susceptible to that man-to-man coverage since they moved him from corner to safety. So I think that's a good play there as well. But other than that, Fantasy Sports Book and Casino.com is the place to be. And you get all this point spreads and stuff. The crazy point spreads, might I add. But Fantasy Sports is what we do, so I'm glad to have another sponsor.
All right, let's move on to one of the players that we were talking about just a little bit ago, the Bears at the Vikings. If you're desperate for a quarterback, or you want to play the matchups on a quarterback, or you have a two-quarterback league like the two gentlemen I have on the show right now, my co-host and the founder, you play Josh McGowan because the fact is he does have a good matchup. I say this, temper your expectations, because when there's always a peak and there's always a talk about someone, there's always going to be a falling out. And it can come at any time, unexpectedly. Everybody's pumping Josh McGowan up as the maybe they shouldn't sign Jay Cutler. Maybe they don't need Jay Cutler because Josh McGowan is playing well. Well, he's a backup for a reason. Just remember that. I would play if I had a choice. I think I've done it in one league because of I'm playing Josh McGowan and I'm just taking a shot here over Andrew Luck because of the matchup. But just realize that it's a possibility that he may throw in a clunker. Matchup's great on paper, but they don't play the game on paper. Quite naturally, you play Matt Forte, which is an excellent matchup, even though he's a little bumped up with a slight hyperextended knee. Minnesota is historically terrible defending the tight end, so I'm looking for Martellus Bennett to have a good game in this one also, so he's a definite start in my book. And quite naturally, Brandon Marshall is a wide receiver one, and Alshon Jeffrey, in my opinion, in this game is a wide receiver three in this game. I think they're going to take one of these guys away, and one of them is going to have a big game, and the other one isn't. Quite naturally, Brandon Marshall is, he's the better of the two, so he's going to have an opportunity to make better plays than Alshon Jeffrey, even though Alshon Jeffrey may have more ideal opportunities. I think Brandon Marshall is a superior talent, so I think he's going to have the better day. On the other side, I cannot stand Vic knows this guy. I can't stand him. I think he's one of the worst quarterbacks in the league. Don't believe. I think he's only playing the position by default because the other quarterbacks are so bad. I'm talking about Christian Ponder. If you have to rely on Christian Ponder, you deserve to lose this week. I'll tell you that right now because that's how bad he is. You definitely play Adrian Peterson. Kyle Rudolph is a good play against Chicago's terrible defense against the tight end. John Carlson. I'm not Carl Rudolph. John Carlson. And other than that, it's a potpourri of garbage with these wide receivers because you never know what's going to happen with Christian Ponder. And I don't like any of these wide receivers to have any kind of decent day with that quarterback. Jerome Simpson, Greg Jennings, and Cordell Patterson. Good luck if you want to put those in your lineups because I couldn't guarantee you any kind of points for them because of the quarterback play. Rev, talk to me.
And let me say something. Even though it's going to break my heart to say this with FSP on the line, Josh McNown looks to be a solid start today. Like you said, there's a reason why this guy's been a career journeyman. It's not like they want to start him. They have to start him. So the potential to have a big payday is there. The potential, like I said, doesn't mean that it's actually going to play out. But the guy I look to have a huge day on that Bears team is Matt Forte. This guy, other than Jamal Charles, he's the second best running back two-way running back. The guy receives the ball and he runs hard. The only thing that's been holding him back his whole career is injuries. And he's a little nicked up right now, but I think he could have a huge day today. It sets up well for him. And like you said, Alshon Jeffrey and Brandon Marshall, they'll do their thing today, I'm pretty sure. Like I think you said, one will get squeezed out. I don't know which one that'll be. It seems that Josh McDowell's been favoring Alshon Jeffrey since he's been starting, though, over Brandon Marshall. And they've been, it's been about a 60-40 production-wise, you know, ratio for those two gentlemen. So I think someone could get squeezed out. And I do like Marcellus Bennett. I think the potential here to have a good payday is there for him also today. And then on the Vikings side of the ball, I mean, wow, you said it, JT. There isn't much to like other than Adrian Peterson. So it's easy to talk about when we talk about the Vikings offense. We just want to talk about one person, and that's Adrian Peterson. So, but he's a little nicked up, so I'm going to throw one name out there that we haven't talked in a long time, and that's Toby Gerhart. He's coming off a pretty solid game. He was all in garbage time, but he ended up having like 91 yards on like 9 carries. It was like he averaged like 10 yards a carry. It was ridiculous last week, and he could get some of those if they get down in that red zone. He could still. Some of those carries from Adrian Peterson. So it's a stretch, I know, but just to keep that name in people's mind that he hasn't disappeared off the fantasy map is Toby Gerhart. One of these defenses is going to have to show up today
Good luck.
One of these defenses are going to have to show what they're made of. And if the Bears are going to make the playoffs, it has to be the Bears defense is going to have to show up and do something today. And what better matchup to do it against? Put 8 in the box, dare Christian Ponder to throw the ball. It's like watching Tim Tebow throw it. It's scary as hell. All right. So dare him to throw the ball. Even though the Vikings have good receivers, the Bears defensively can lock that down, make them one-dimensional with Adrian Peterson. And I think this is the Bears' coming-out party today. They handle business and do what they're supposed to do. They'll be right there real time for the playoff push.
Victor, got two and a half minutes left before we go into overtime. Talk to me.
All right, real quickly. I agree with everything you said. The receiver I'm looking out for is Bennett for Chicago, that Bear receiver. Also, I think that John Carson will have another good game because, again, Christian Ponder loves a tight end, and Carlson has led the team in receptions. And one correction. Last week I told you about Toby Gerhart. I told you guys that he was going to start vulturing some of that stuff from AP. He had a better running game. He had 81 or 84 rushing yards on 9 carries last week. I think he's going to do something very similar today. So AP is not going to be there a lot for a lot of this playoff push for a lot of people looking at that schedule. He's already nicked up. And they're already starting to split us a little bit with Toby Gerhart. So I look forward to watching McCown throw up 400 yards and helping me defeat the Reverend again. And I'll let you go into overtime. And I got more to say, but go ahead and send people to overtime.
Okay. Well, we got about a minute left before we go into overtime. We're going to be covering the rest of the game, so hang in there. We're going to be running down these games. For those who are not going to hang with us in overtime, tune in next week where myself and the Rev will lay down some more knowledge on you in the probably for most leagues you're into your fantasy playoffs. Some leagues it'll be the following week. So hang in there and we'll keep on giving you the knowledge in fantasy that hopefully helps you get into the playoffs and succeed in the playoffs and get you to that one coveted championship in your league. Quite naturally, tomorrow is a timeout. I don't know if they're going to have a live show. I think they're going to have a replay of the timeout program, which is 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Monday. And also on Thursday, the FSP Cruise Show. I am the host, along with my two co-hosts, Jeff the Joker and Black,
Wright, covering the week in fantasy, sports, and politics. Friday will be No Chaser with Mac Williams, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and then next weekend, Saturday and Sunday,